Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Neuro Experience Podcast. I'm Louisa. I'm the host. I'm doing something very different and going back to my roots today and interviewing a world-class athlete, Miss Lauren Fisher. At age 28 years old, Lauren has been one of the best-known names in CrossFit. Since the NorCal Regionals in 2012, she's collected a top 10 finish. She's had 8 overall game appearances, and in 2022, her team finished 4th overall at the 2022 Games. Lauren's mission is to challenge women to tap into the individual strengths of females, to see that strong is beautiful and giving up is simply not an option. So in this episode, Lauren and I chat almost about everything. I debunk her entire life from nutrition to sleep. I also dig into her training schedule and the highs and lows of being a CrossFit professional athlete. I'm excited to share this episode with everybody. If you enjoy it, please feel free to leave a review. It takes 20 seconds. I'm very excited to get this out there. Let's get into it. Welcome to the Neuro Experience Podcast, where you will learn the science of human performance and optimization. Guys, I have been waiting so long to tell you this. I am pleased to announce that the Neuro Experience Podcast is now partnered with Momentous Supplements. So we've partnered with Momentous Supplements for 3 very important reasons. First of all, the quality of their supplements are second to none in terms of purity and precision in the amount of the ingredients that they supply. Quality is by far the most important aspect when choosing supplements. So that is number one. Secondly, they ship internationally, and that's extremely valuable for all of my audience back home in Australia. Third, they use lab-tested ingredients, and all of their products are triple certified by leading third-party testing. Guys, I have been waiting to partner with a supplement company for so long now. A lot of you watch my content, you hear my content, and I speak so much on the importance of certain nutrients such as EPA and DHA. However, I know how crazy the supplement industry is. So for me to go out and partner with one, I had to really do my due diligence. And I know that I have done so with Momentous. So together with Momentous, I'll be building out protocols for brain health and working on many different ways to bring a healthy and quality supplement regime to you. If you go to livemomentous.com/neuro, this is where you will see my recommended supplements for brain health and for sleep health. Also, you will be able to get a 15% discount on absolutely anything. So keep in mind, you can also use code NEURO at checkout, but if you want to go and see what I personally recommend, head on over to livemomentous.com/neuro and you can check out all of my recommended supplements. This episode is brought to you by HVMN. Feeding your brain is, of course, incredibly important. And like any other organ in your body, your brain requires energy to function. Your brain cells get this energy from the mitochondria. The more efficient your mitochondria are, the more energy your brain has available to complete its daily tasks. Ketones enhance mitochondrial biogenesis and mitochondrial efficiency. So this means that exogenous ketones signal an increased number of mitochondria and create an improved ability to burn fat for fuel. And because I'm always trying to find more brain energy, I sip on exogenous ketones throughout the day. So I've been taking Ketone IQ from HVMN for many months now. And personally, I've found that this one is the cleanest form of ketones that I've ever come across. It tastes good for starters, and it delivers clean fuel that can cross the blood-brain barrier, supplying your brain and body with a sustained energy, mental focus, and sharpness, putting you in flow for many hours throughout the day. If you haven't tried ketones before and want to, you can try this Ketone IQ from HVMN and get 10% off your order. My code is NEURO. All you have to do is go to hvmn.me/NEURO or put code NEURO at checkout to receive 10% off your order.
Well, first off, torn ligament. I can't believe that was your first experience with CrossFit. But
I'm
I was
not that unfit. I don't know what I did. It must be I'm just uncoordinated.
But I was going to say, I started CrossFit, back in 2008. So 14 years ago, I was entering my freshman year of high school and I wanted an extra strength and conditioning program for basketball. My two older brothers were doing CrossFit at the time and they told me they were training with this guy named Vince Carter. And I thought it was Vince Carter, the basketball player, being the naive little girl I was. And I went to do my first CrossFit session. It wasn't Vince Carter, the basketball player, but I immediately got hooked, like doing my first training session. I loved like competing versus myself. I love like going against the time. I love like getting stronger, putting up the weights, like just lifting heavy. Like it was definitely that thrill I was looking for. And so, started doing that for the strength and conditioning. So I do it in my off season. For basketball, I would go after school three times a week as well, in addition to my basketball training during the season, just do an hour CrossFit class. And then by like my junior, senior of high school, I started getting burnt out with basketball. And that was when I kind of made the switch. Like I really wanted to dedicate more time to CrossFit. So during my summer, I wasn't like, I guess, the normal girl in high school spending your summer like at the beach or at the pool with your friends. I wanted to go and do CrossFit every day. So I would train an extra, because usually I was just doing the hour classes. So now I was training 2 hours, which was actually kind of a big deal. And then I ended up moving to San Diego, and that's kind of like where my career picked up when I moved to college. And so, kind of flew off from there. So I just got off one of the biggest competitions of the season in August, the CrossFit Games, and I was competing on a team from Iceland, CrossFit Reykjavik. We took fourth place at the CrossFit Games, so we were the fourth fittest team on earth. It wasn't necessarily the finish we wanted. We were 15 points short of the podium. And there was some like extra things going on the outside of the competition. I had an injury leading into the CrossFit Games that was really unplanned for. But now 2 months later, I'm healed and rested. I just had my wedding a month ago, and I'm going to be competing in Australia at the Down Under Championship, November 18th to 20th. So I'm super excited about that, to kind of get my first individual competition that I've had. I haven't competed individually since back at the West Coast Classic in 2021.
What was the injury that you had?
So I actually injured my lat/tricep right before the CrossFit Games doing chest to bar pull-ups. I felt like this little rubber band snap doing pull-ups, and I immediately came down from the pull-up bar and I knew something was off, and I told my coach, I was like, I'm not doing any more pull-ups. That felt completely off. So literally 2 weeks before the games, I couldn't even open up a door without pain. I couldn't even press out of the bed without pain on my left side. I couldn't even like pick up a 45-pound plate later that day. And I knew something was off. And so I completely had a week off, like from doing any sort of like kipping pull-ups, muscle-ups, all of that. Actually, pretty much leading into the games, I avoided all of that. And then I was able to compete last minute, but it's not the type of thing you want to go into the CrossFit Games when your goal was to win the CrossFit Games with your team, to have an injury like that.
Like many sports, when you're an athlete and you're also trying to juggle your personal life, you've just gotten married. I can only, believe that it's going to be tough. Like it's got to be tough as a female in a grueling sport. I was a triathlete, and I remember racing. I remember training twice a day, or sometimes three times a day, and that takes up a lot of time, a lot of mental energy. How do you juggle everything, and what does that look like for you? Like, how many times a day do you train, and how do you make time for your personal life?
Yeah. So, I mean, when I'm in the thick of the CrossFit Games season, I'm training around 4 to 6 hours a day. It was pretty easy for me this past season because I was actually living in Iceland away from my significant other. So I could literally just kind of eat, sleep, train. But also in those times when I'm not training, I'm also focusing on my business, Grown Strong, which is an online fitness program for women. And so I want to help my community get stronger, not just in the gym, but outside of the gym as well. And so when I'm not training, that's a big passion of mine. But it's definitely hard because, I mean, you're training, trying to run a business and then also managing social media. Like I have sponsorship requests I need to do on my social media while also providing educational content towards my followers and fan base. So it can definitely be a lot when really the whole goal is to just focus on training. But this is also the way I can make money outside of training to keep doing what I love.
Yeah. I want to break down training really down to the molecular level. So treat me as if I'm, you know, 10 years old and I've got no idea about what CrossFit training entails. So take me through what a typical week looks like for you. We're 2 months away from your major competition. What is that? So what does training look like for you from Monday morning onwards?
Training towards the CrossFit Games, literally the first session might be a mix of cardio and conditioning and gymnastics. So think of CrossFit, it's constantly varied. We're training for anything and everything to show up at the CrossFit Games. We're training to be the fittest in our sport. And what that entails is there's gonna, like, any sort of event might show up at the CrossFit Games. You might have a triathlon, so a run, swim, run, and whoever's gonna be the fastest will win that event. You might have another event where it's gonna be one rep max deadlift, so who can lift the heaviest weight. And then another event might be like a handstand walk obstacle course for time. And so you're training for all of these different elements. And so you have to have a good coach, a good training environment. So for me, I'm making sure I cannot just be the strongest, but I can be the fastest and the fittest in my sport. So Monday morning when I'm getting up, it usually might be, a mix of cardio and gymnastics. So might have like an hour just like CrossFit session where you go in and you warm up. I warm up for like 30 minutes to an hour. The first like 15 to 30 minutes might just be activation drill. So getting a foam roller out and foam rolling and then getting some bands out and doing like some banded pull downs, maybe some like banded monster walks, depending like what I'm doing, if I'm squatting or if I'm going to be doing more shoulder dominant. It just really depends what I'm going to be warming up. And then if it's a CrossFit workout, I'm going to warm up my breathing. So then I'll spend maybe like 15 to 30 minutes of just like getting my heart rate elevated, practicing the movements that are going to show up in the workout. And then after an hour, you're actually finally hitting that CrossFit workout that might be the main workout for that session. And then you rest for 2 hours. So I immediately have like a post-workout protein shake with carbs. And then I go home and then I'll probably eat in about an hour and then rest and then go back to the gym. And then it might just be like 2 hours of strength where you're going to, again, I spend like maybe 30 minutes warming up and then we do some sort of lifting, what we need to focus on for the day, and then accessory work, just like think of like bodybuilding type exercises. So narrowing down to those small little muscles that help stabilize everything else. So I mean, you're training anything and everything, and then maybe a session could be swimming. So you're just going to the pool. You're working on like technique drills, kicking and pulling and doing anything a swimmer might do for like an hour. So it just really depends on the day and what exactly the goal is.
What is the swimming component in a typical competition?
So, I mean, it really depends on the program. It can be anything. You could have a 200 meter swim for time, and that's the workout. At the CrossFit Games this past year, they had a mix of a swim and skier. So they had you swim 50 meters, plus you had to do like 8 calories on the skier, and it was against a 2 minute clock. So you had to get that work done in that amount of time, and then it kept going up on the amount of calories you had to do on the ski erg. So it went like all the way up to, I think, 18 calories on the ski erg plus the 50 meter swim. So if you didn't get the work done in the 2 minutes, you were kicked off. And the goal was to keep making it on. And then the last 2 minutes was like max calories. So basically, who got the most calories on the ski erg? So if you made it all the way to the end, your score was then like the amount of calories you got on the ski erg. So it really depends on the program. Like at the competition I'm competing at in Australia, they could have maybe like an ocean swim mixed with like some kettlebell movements out on the beach. Like you're just preparing for anything and everything.
this just sounds like all you do is prepare for war. It's completely different to the type of training, which was extremely linear as a triathlete, where it was just run, swim, cycle, and transition. And that was it. And that's what my that was my triathlon, and that was my training every day. I can't imagine going into a competition where you don't really know what's what's in front of you. But I think that that's what makes the sport what it is. I've seen it grow over the last, 15 years into this huge conglomerate of, I can't describe the type of community. It's people who are, it's like I live here in New York City, and there's a CrossFit gym like two streets from me, and I see them doing everything together. They train together, then they eat together, they have barbecues. A lot of them are, married to each other within this community. So it's like this big family sport, if you will.
It creates this special community. And that's what I love about CrossFit. I mean, I've been doing it for so long, but I've met like so many different people around the world, like so many great friends that I still stay in touch with. And I think like our one basis of why we get along really well is we're really into fitness. Like CrossFit kind of preaches that healthy lifestyle. And when you connect with like-minded people, you find that in a CrossFit gym. And we want to we love doing workouts for time. We also love lifting weights. And then when you're outside of the CrossFit gym, you also enjoy eating healthy. You prioritize sleeping, and you might not be the ones staying super late at a party because you want to get to bed early. So I think it just creates these like-minded people that you love spending time with.
So when it comes to your sport, are you very pedantic on the food that you eat? And meaning, when I say that, are you measuring the protein intake for maximum benefits?
Yeah. So when I'm in season, I track my macros. So I'm trying to eat around 3,000 plus calories a day, and I weigh around 145 pounds. So for me, I love tracking because if I didn't track, I wouldn't eat enough food. And so I need to make sure I'm eating enough food to feel my best and to also fuel my recovery. So yeah, I'm tracking my protein, and I eat around 165 grams of protein a day, and then around 400 grams of carbs, around 65 grams of fat. And then usually on my rest days, my calories don't really change much. I'm still trying to feel full and fueled for the next day. I might be eating a little bit higher on the fats and less on the carbs. And so, yeah, I mean, I would not be able to compete the way I do if I didn't track my food, but I also do have balance. So on Saturdays, I give myself a cheat day where I don't really track as much. Maybe during my training I do. And then Saturday night, I love to enjoy pizza or ice cream and have that balance on Saturdays, and then get right back into it during the week to make sure I'm feeling my best.
One of the, I actually remember working with a CrossFit athlete, and he was doing a study. And what I remember doing with him was we tracked his sweat. And so we were trying to track, it was a hydration protocol that we were putting him through. And what we did was we did a sweat test on him, and we were hydrating him with obviously both water and electrolytes pre and post training sessions. And that's when I really realized even a mere 2% of dehydration can mean the difference between performing that last rep on the pull-up bar and not. And I wonder how many athletes are actually tracking their hydration. And if they are they just doing this through water, or are they doing this through electrolytes as well?
That's actually one thing I feel like I would love to get to know more about, tracking hydration, because I feel like most CrossFit athletes still don't track hydration. Yes, we drink water, and I know nowadays a lot of us are drinking electrolytes and filling up with carbs in the middle of your session. But that was one thing I was actually doing with my team, CrossFit Reykjavik, when we did our pre-games training camp in Michigan. We were actually tracking our sweat, how much water we were losing before and after after the session. So we would weigh ourselves before the session, and then we would weigh ourselves again after the session. But when we were doing it, I wasn't really paying much attention because it was more our coach who was doing it at the time, who was making sure we were all like properly staying hydrated. But yeah, I think that's something that I feel like not many people still know much about in CrossFit.
Well, to be honest, what I think that many people still don't know about is the proper use of supplementation. And I guess that's my next question, because you and I were introduced by Momentous, and I'm one of their advisors, and you are one of the athletes there. And I've been using supplements for many years, and I've been trying to look for a brand that houses the highest quality supplements. And one of the most key nutrients that I think that everybody should be taking, doesn't matter who you are, everybody, is EPA and DHA. They're omega-3 fatty acids. And I don't see, you know, we're doing like, I'm doing like a lot of tracking to see who buys what, you know, athletes buying these omega-3s, and they're still not. So it begs the question of, do athletes know the importance of these key nutrients?
I think that's one thing that athletes are still learning a whole bunch about. I feel like I've been really lucky to have been surrounded by great people like Momentous. And also I work with a naturopath doctor here in San Diego. So I get my blood panels. I used to get them done quarterly. Now it's probably like semi-annually, twice a year. And that for me helps track like what proper nutrients and what am I like deficient in certain vitamins and all of that. And so I have found out that like I need more omega-3s in my diet, even though I do eat like salmon and almonds and these things that should be high in omega-3s. And so that's like one thing I feel like athletes still don't know much about, but I've been fortunate to figure out like what works best for my body. So for me, like supplements, I would not be able to do like compete the level I do without taking supplements. So I'm taking the Momentous magnesium, fish oils, and vitamin D at night, and also the zinc. And then in the morning, I always make like a collagen and electrolyte, like a drink right before I go and work out. And then I'm fueling with the fuel carbs in my middle of my session. So I think supplements are that extra 1% edge that you need in my sport, especially CrossFit, when everyone is training probably the same amount, but it's like, who can get that 1% better? Whether it's your supplements, your sleep, hydration, all of it, it all matters. Yeah.
One thing that my company does, NeuroAthletics, is we train a lot of athletes in the cognitive space. And I've been dying to ask you if part of your training is mental or is neurological. Are you doing any training with tennis balls or with lights?
So that was actually one thing I got into this past season with my with Yami from the training plan. That was actually, we did a lot of eye training because I noticed when I'm lifting weights, one of my eyes closes when I'm like doing a heavy jerk. And so it's pretty crazy because he's like, how are you lifting this much heavy weight? And like, you're looking out with one eye. And so we would do like eye training before our session, basically to train our eyes to be ready for when we're lifting those heavy weights. We were doing not tennis balls, but I mean, you're looking at like what the Formula One drivers, when they do with their fingers, and you're trying to go over a screen, like back and forth, doing some stuff like that. And that's super interesting. We did a little bit of it, but definitely something I would love to tap more into because I just know the benefits of it are definitely extraordinary.
You were closing one eye.
Yeah.
It was just a subconscious movement.
Yeah, apparently I've been doing this because then when I'm looking back at videos all the way back to 2014, I've been doing this for the longest time. Like my left eye or right eye is always closing and I'm like, why is it doing that? And so it's just like crazy. Imagine if I am actually lifting with both eyes open, how much more weight I can lift over my head.
You would think. And I think that may even be the difference between fourth and maybe first place. It'd be great to see the differences in, you know, if you're, are you with the same team? Are you going to be with the same team the next time?
No, this next year, I don't know. We'll see what happens this next year. So I don't want to give too much away, but yeah, we'll see.
Okay. Well, damn, I wish you were, I wish you'd tell everybody here on the podcast. No, that's interesting because obviously there'd be many variables if you weren't in the same team. But mm-hmm. it'd be good to track that and see what are the differences that you're putting in that can make an effect of where you place. Another huge proponent of what you do is you work on your sleep fitness. Now, sleep is getting a lot of playtime, I would say. People are now learning why you need to sleep to recover better, why you need to sleep to perform better. And I know that you're taking sleep really seriously. You're sponsored by a sleep company. So let's talk a bit about sleep, how you optimize sleep, and how many hours of sleep you're getting.
How I optimize my sleep. Yeah, I'm like a biggest sleep queen or sleep snob. I think one thing is making sure you have a mattress you love. So I love sleeping on my Performance Sleep mattress. And secondly, I mean, there are so many factors. Like before you go to bed, are you on your phone all the way until you sleeping? That's obviously going to affect the amount of like REM and deep sleep you get. So making sure I'm not on my phone like maybe an hour before bed, also making sure like I'm like getting or turning down all my blackout curtains so I'm not seeing sunlight as well. I get like during the CrossFit game season, I definitely get more strict about it than when I'm in my off season. But yeah, aiming to get, I notice when I'm training and competing in the CrossFit games, I'm trying to get 9 to 10 plus hours of sleep. I also love taking like a nap in the middle of the day to just kind of.
You are like, that is the most like, I'm so envious of you. I'm so envious of your sleep.
So after my first session, usually I'm pretty like exhausted after it. So I mean, I'll have my protein shake and then I'll come home and probably shower and then I'll lay in my bed and probably go to sleep. I'll sleep for like 30 minutes. I'll wake up and I'll eat and then I'll like recover a bit more and then go to my training session. So usually that nap happens after my first session. I sometimes get more exhausted after lifting like heavy weights. So whenever like you're kind of tapping into your CNS and you're going for those one rep maxes, I just notice I come like away from the training so exhausted. So like I definitely need that nap to recover. And then at night, I try to aim to get to bed before 10 p.m. because I do like wear a watch to track like my REM and deep sleep. And I noticed when I was getting to bed after 10, like around 10:30, 11, I was getting less like REM and deep sleep. So I just noticed there's like these little things that just add up. So I'm just like, it's crazy that getting to bed before 10 might make a difference, or even getting that like extra hour of sleep, especially when you're an athlete. Like our goal is to be feeling the best for our training and also recovering. And so your body's working extra hard. So you need to prioritize that sleep.
I think what is also important in that aspect is as an athlete, you also have to prepare for the worst. You know, there are some of the athletes that I coach, I always tell them that you have to be in bed early. You have to do all of the right things so you can wake up feeling amazing. But what happens if you wake up and you don't feel amazing? You still have to have the ability to just pick up and go and say, I'm going to go in and I'm going to crush it today. I don't care if my leg hurts. I don't care if I've got a headache. I'm going to get up and I'm just going to do it. I think that's really important to be speaking about as well.
Yeah, so many days I feel like honestly more days than none you wake up, even though you're getting that much sleep, you might wake up feeling like crushed, your body's still sore, you're just feeling tired or not ready to go, not very motivated to get into the gym. But I think for us, it's like, you just need to kind of shut your mind off, shut off all those excuses and being like, hey, I'm going to go crush this day and like make yourself excited for training, whether that's like putting on your favorite music going into the gym and just kind of like hyping yourself up, or just surrounding yourself with like training partners that are going to make you excited when maybe one of those days you're kind of down, but they're also pulling you up. So it's just letting them know like, hey, I'm kind of tired today, but then they're like ready to go. It gives you that extra energy and that extra push. So I think like find yourself some good training partners that can kind of like keep you going on those days when you don't feel like going.
And talk to me about your recovery. I think that would be a huge part in your training, and it comes in many different ways, whether it comes in massages, whether it comes in going to a physical therapist or a cold bath. I'm so interested in this aspect of how athletes at your level recover.
Yeah, so I'm like, honestly, I nerd out like anything recovery. For me, I noticed the biggest shift when I do acupuncture and massage. So when I'm in the midst of my game season, I love doing like body work once or twice a week. Usually it's probably, yeah, once or twice a week. And one of those sessions, I've noticed the biggest change when I do like acupuncture and massage and cupping. And so when I was in San Diego, I had someone great who I used to see, and she was amazing. So that, like, I just really noticed, like, my body feels so zen and relaxed after, and it just helps, like, fire those muscles that, like, weren't necessarily firing properly. And then when I was in Iceland, I would get, like, an hour to 90 minutes massage in my off days. But also, too, when you get that long of a massage, it might make you feel, like, a little bit flat going into the next day. So I would really try to make sure, maybe like if Wednesday is my like big day of training and then Thursday is going to be like kind of my off day. And then Friday I'll be training again. I would actually try to get that massage Wednesday evening, because then the next day during my off day, I try to like move a little bit to flush everything out. Because if you get that massage the day before your training and you go to like lift heavy weights, like you might feel a little flat in your training. So just like small things like that. And I'm also, I love a good cold plunge, doing like 5 minute cold plunge. I'm also, I love like sauna. So leading into our games, training camp in Michigan, I was actually doing some heat acclimation training. So we were doing 30 minutes of sauna, and that was like, I definitely noticed it helped out a bunch, making sure my body was acclimated, because we were living in Iceland. We were getting ready to go to Michigan where it's super humid and stuff. So stuff like that. I mean, sauna, cold plunge, massage, also getting like those massage guns like before training, like doing something like that, or having like your significant other like walk on your like quads and calves if you can't make it to a massage. So there's so many things you can do.
Yeah, that sounds brutal. that sounds really brutal, but it was just reminding me that I was just thinking, oh, I have to book my massage in as you were talking. As you're growing and you've amassed what is your following now on Instagram and YouTube combined?
Well, 1.1 million followers on Instagram. But then I have around 25,000 on YouTube, and then about like 75,000 on TikTok, 800,000 on Facebook. So it really depends on the social media platform.
And the reason I ask is because what I find is as you're growing and you're amassing so many people who are excited to learn from you, excited to follow your journey, with that probably comes some misconceptions around who you are and what you do. Have you ever been faced with these, and what are they?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I feel like with social media nowadays and being a professional athlete, so many people looking from the outside looking in think, wow, it must be so easy. She gets to train full time and is sponsored by like Nike and supplement sponsor and all of this. And they think from the outside looking in that it's such like an easy way of living. But honestly, it's one of the hardest. Like, I think it's easy to show up every day and train, but it's also mentally, like every single year, it gets harder and harder. And so I think from like the outside looking in, you think, wow, she has it easy. But just like mentally, it takes so much energy, especially in CrossFit. You have to give everything plus more, because you really have to go into a deep, dark place. A lot of the times in your training, if you want to get better, you have to suffer a whole lot in your training. When you're doing your running sessions or track sessions, like they're not going to be easy. Or if you're spending like an hour on the rowing machine, like that's not going to be fun. And so most days, like it's not really fun. But I think that feeling after knowing that like you got better, that's what like keeps me motivated and keeps me pushing to keep going. And so I think that's probably one of the big misconceptions, is that thinking being a professional athlete, it is really easy. But then also too, on social media, you have to manage like sponsorship expectations. So making sure like you're delivering content about your sponsors, but also I want to make sure that I provide value to my followers. Like I want to offer a bunch of great educational content. That's why I started Instagram, was because I wanted to inspire other people, and I didn't like have like any sponsored content, but now this is what supports my way of living and how I get to compete with the sport I love. And so like that comes at a price. And I think a lot of people look, oh, like they hate the sponsored content or they don't like seeing sponsored posts. But like, this is how like us CrossFit athletes can make a way of living. And I love like the sponsors I work with and everyone, but there's just, there is a lot of work that is done on the sidelines.
Yeah, it's hard to educate and also put your sponsorship out there, you know, and not try and be that person who's just on there just to sell. Mm-hmm. But it's I think where most of the confusion comes is that a lot of people probably look at you and they are working 9 to 5 and they want to have your life and they want to be able to train full time. But I also think that that comes with the things that they don't know yet. They just probably see you as this girl who's having all this fun and just training full time and that's it. And basically getting paid a really great wage just to train.
No, that's far from the truth. I mean, it's also running my business, Grown Strong, on the side as well, which I'm super passionate about and making sure that's running smoothly. And then also to like providing value on my YouTube channel. So also vlogging like my day-to-day life and putting out content there and then training. And it's literally, that's like more than a 9-to-5 job. You really don't have a day off. Like, being like, for me, for example, one of my friends was like, Lauren, you never like take a day off, like you're always working or you're always answering someone, because like I always want to make sure my followers are getting responded back to. So I spend time like answering messages on the weekend or answering messages on my off day when I should probably be just spending time recovering. But like for me, that's like my community matters so much to me and I just want to keep valuing them. And so I want to make sure I provide that value. And they have so many questions about training, about life, or just struggling with body image. And so for me, it's super important to take that extra time to get back to people. And so it's never ending. And I think sometimes I'm just like, I just wish social media didn't exist so I could just like not do it. But I mean, it's kind of like a greater evil.
Yeah, it's also a blessing in disguise.
Yes.
I've really loved getting to know you. I'm going to link, look, where people can find you. I'm going to link your Instagram. I'm going to link your amazing YouTube. And now that you've just told me, your TikTok, which I've recently just started using, but I don't see myself gaining that many followers anytime soon. Is there anywhere else that we should know about?
Yeah, you can also find more information on my website about my sponsors, any fitness retreats that I'm hosting on lauren-fisher.com. And also, if you want to learn more about my brand Grown Strong, which is my online fitness program for women, you can find it at grownstrong.com. So make sure to link that and also give you a discount to Louisa that you can give to people if they want to sign up for the program and try it.
Oh, I love that. We'll link that below as well.
Yes.
Lauren, thank you so much for being part of the Neuro Experience podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.